Welcome. This is Signal. The Birthmark by Nathaniel Hawthorne, published 1846. Slightly reimagined by This Is Signal. A long time ago, there lived a skillful scientist who had experienced a spiritual reaction more striking than any chemical one. She had left her laboratory in the care of her assistant, washed the chemicals from her hands, and asked a beautiful woman to become her wife. In those days, scientific discoveries such as electricity seemed to open paths into the area of miracles. It was not unusual for the love of science to compete with the love of a woman. The scientist's name was Alma. She had so totally given herself to scientific studies that she could not be weakened by a second love. Alma's love for her young wife could only be the stronger of the two, if it could link itself with her love of science. Such a union did take place, with truly remarkable results. But one day, very soon after their marriage, Alma looked at her wife with a troubled expression. "Georgiana," she said, "have you ever considered the mark upon your cheek might be removed?"
"No,"
she said, smiling. But seeing the seriousness of her question, she said,
"The mark has so often been called a charm that I was simple enough to imagine it might be so."
"On another face it might," answered her spouse, "but not on yours. No, dear, nature made you so perfectly that this small defect shocks me as being a sign of earthly imperfection."
"Shocks you?"
cried Georgiana, deeply hurt. Her face reddened and she burst into tears.
"Then why did you marry me? You cannot love what shocks you."
We must explain that at the center of Georgiana's left cheek, there was a mark deep in her skin. The mark was usually a deep red color. When Georgiana blushed, the mark became less visible. But when she turned pale, there was the mark like a red stain upon snow. The birthmark would come and go with the emotions in her heart. The mark was shaped like a very small human hand. Georgiana's past lovers used to say that the hand of a magical fairy had touched her face when she was born. Many a gentleman would have risked his life for the honor of kissing that mysterious hand. But other people had different opinions. Some women said the red hand quite destroyed the effect of Georgiana's beauty. Male observers who did not praise the mark simply wished it away so they did not see it. After her marriage, Alma discovered that this was the case with herself. Had Georgiana been less beautiful, she might have felt her love increased by the prettiness of that little hand. But because she was otherwise so perfect, she found the mark had become unbearable. Alma saw the mark as a sign of her wife's eventual sadness, sickness, and death. Soon the birthmark caused her more pain than Georgiana's beauty had ever given her pleasure. During a period that should have been their happiest, Alma could only think of this disastrous subject. In the morning light, Alma opened her eyes upon her wife's face and recognized the sign of imperfection. When they sat together in the evening near the fire, she would look at the mark. Georgiana began to fear her look. Her expression would make Georgiana's face go pale, and the birthmark would stand out like a red jewel on a white stone.
"Do you remember, dear Alma, about the dream you had last night about this hateful mark?"
she asked with a weak smile.
"None. None whatever,"
answered Alma, surprised. The mind is in a sad state when sleep cannot control its ghosts and allows them to break free with their secrets. Alma now remembered her dream. She had imagined herself with her assistant Aminadab, trying to remove the birthmark with an operation. But the deeper her knife went, the deeper the small hand sank until it caught a hold of Georgiana's heart. Alma felt guilty remembering the dream.
"Alma," said Georgiana, "I do not know what the cost would be to the both of us to remove this birthmark. Removing it could deform my face or damage my health."
"Dearest Georgiana, I have spent much thought on the subject," said Alma. "I am sure it can be removed."
"Then let the attempt be at any risk," said Georgiana. "Life is not worth living while this hateful mark makes me the object of your horror. You have deep science, and you have made great discoveries. Remove this little mark for the sake of your peace and my own."
"Dearest wife," cried Alma, "do not doubt my power. I am ready to make this cheek as perfect as its pair." Her spouse gently kissed her on her right cheek, the one without the red hand. The next day, the couple went to Alma's laboratory where she had made all her famous discoveries. Georgiana would live in a beautiful room she had prepared nearby while she worked tirelessly in her lab. One by one, Alma tried a series of powerful experiments on her wife. But the mark remained. Georgiana waited in her room. She read through Alma's notebooks on scientific observations. She could not help see that many of her experiments ended in failure. She decided to see for herself the scientist at work. The first thing that struck Georgiana when entering the laboratory was the hot furnace. From the amount of soot above it, it seemed to have been running for ages. She saw machines, tubes, cylinders, and other containers for chemical experiments. What most drew her attention was Alma herself. Alma was nervous and pale as death as she worked on preparing a liquid. Georgiana realized that her spouse had been hiding her tension and fear.
"Think not so little of me that you cannot be honest about the risks that we are taking," she said. "I will drink whatever you make for me, even if it is poison."
"My dear, nothing shall be hidden," Alma said. "I have already given you chemicals power enough to change your entire physical system. Only one thing remains to be tried, and if it fails, we are ruined." She led Georgiana back to her room, where she waited once more, alone with her thoughts. She hoped that for just one moment she could satisfy her spouse's highest ideals. But she realized then that Alma's mind would forever be on the march, always requiring something newer, better, and more perfect. Hours later, Alma returned carrying a crystal glass with a colorless liquid. "The chemical process went perfectly," she said. "Unless all my science has tricked me, it cannot fail." To test the liquid, she placed a drop on the soil of a dying flower growing in a pot in the room. In a few moments, the plant had become healthy and green once more.
"I do not need proof," Georgiana said quietly. "Give me the glass. I am happy to put my life in your hands."
She drank the liquid and immediately fell asleep. Alma sat next to her wife, observing her and taking notes. Alma noted everything, her breathing, the movement of an eyelid. She stared at the birthmark. And slowly, with every breath that came and went, it lost some of its brightness.
"By heaven, it's nearly gone," said Alma. "Success! Success!"
She opened the window coverings to see Georgiana's face in the daylight. She was so pale. Georgiana opened her eyes and looked into the mirror her spouse held. She tried to smile as she saw the barely visible mark.
"My poor Alma," she said gently, "you aimed so high, with so high and pure a feeling. You have rejected the best the earth could offer. I am dying, my dearest."
It was true. The hand on her face had been a link to her life. As the last trace of color disappeared from her cheek, she gave her last breath. Blinded by the meaningless imperfection and the impossible goal, Alma had thrown away Georgiana's life, and with it her chance for happiness. In trying to improve her lovely wife, Alma failed to realize Georgiana had been perfect all along.